The Full Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, Open Tech and Social Innovation Camp. Hello world, and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. With Mr. Les Pounder. Good evening, Les.
Good evening.
brief hesitation while I switch gear and thought, what number are we up to?
I'm glad you know.
The Full Circle Podcast is the companion to Full Circle Magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at www.fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
Full Circle Review. The entire subject of this side pod is your reports back from the front line, the Open Tech Conference, which was actually quite a while ago now. When was it? 26th of May?
21st of May.
21st of May. I've not even got the date right. Brilliant. Tell us, how did it go? How was the day?
It was a fantastic day. It was extremely busy. I mean, we're lucky to have such a massive venue, which was the University of London Union Building. Massive building, lots of people there. It was a really hot day in London, and just some great talks were going on. I mean, there was talks going on from all various subjects. I mean, going from some crazy subjects, such as the Dorkbot team building robots out of mishmashed pieces of technology, all the way to people talking about digital cities and open data. It was just a massive event, and there was lots there for everyone.
Very good. So what was the turnout like? Was it as busy as predicted?
I believe so, yeah. I know it was busy at the bar when I went at lunchtime.
I wish I could have been there. I was actually in London that day working on something for Ford, and we were dragging ourselves around the city of London from place to place in the heat with all the helicopters, Barracks, Marine One. Helicopter went flying past over St. Paul's at one stage at lunchtime, and I thought, yes, you've probably broken for lunch and you're sitting in the Union Bar somewhere.
Yeah, you'd be right, yeah.
And it was a very hot day that day.
Oh, very hot.
So you've mentioned Dorkbot and digital cities. Any highlights of any particular talks?
A gentleman called Jack, and I can't remember his surname, but he did a fantastic talk called DIN is noise, that's DIN is noise. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a way to mix Morse code into electronic music. So all the dots and the dashes for the Morse code is fed through this open source program. And then you can alter the waveform slightly to produce some really ethereal noises. It was fantastic. But you could also translate, so you could type in words and it would actually translate the words into Morse code, then play it as music, and you can mess around with it. His choice of words on the day, shall we say, was eclectic, and is not for repeat on this podcast.
Okay.
But it was very funny talk. It was taking a serious subject and just making it very funny so everyone was engaged and listening to it. A great talk. There's another one as well, a gentleman called Terence Eden, who's a specialist in the quick response codes, the QR codes that you mm-hmm. see dotted around. And he was really telling us how to use QR codes effectively in different types of media. So for printed posters, such as bus shelters, that sort of thing. So you can donate to a good cause just by taking a picture of this QR code. All the way to train timetables, or how to actually, it didn't do this maliciously, but how to use a QR code maliciously if you wanted to. So he's showing you the pitfalls of these codes, which mm-hmm. we take for granted. It is surprising. With these codes, you could, if you wanted to, basically create a way of texting a number, which would then charge to the person's bank account, to the person's phone bill, a certain mm-hmm. amount of money. Like you see these texts, you know, text 100 to this number, and you'll donate £1.
Yeah.
So it was scary what you can do, but it was also fascinating what you could do with these QR codes.
It's like any piece of technology, I guess. Every leap forward has its dark side, and I think I'm surprised we haven't had more bad news about QR codes and their misuse already. But I'm guessing that as soon as the scammers and the criminals latch onto this, watch out for the headlines. You've got 3 interviews as a result of various people that you spoke to. One which was recorded on the day.
That's right, yeah. That was speaking to Glenn Main from the Social Innovation Camp. Basically, Social Innovation Camp is a way of designing applications for social aspects. So rather than designing an application for, I want to create a Twitter app, it's using data that's out there in the cloud, in the internet, wherever you want it to come from, for a social task, such as helping people who are lonely. Use an application that can find friends to talk to, or using data to find whereabouts is my nearest chemist, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a 48-hour event building applications to tackle social problems. Really interesting stuff. I mean, the guy was extremely clever in how he was describing the subject matter. It was things I'd never even thought of before in how to use applications. So it is a really good project, what they do.
And I think you demonstrated the patience of a saint, because although it was only a very short interview, people may, like me, get slightly wound up by the lady in the background having her mobile phone conversation completely oblivious of the fact that there were other people in the building.
Yeah.
I think if it had been me, I might well have stood up at one point and told her to off. But
I was very tempted to do that. In the fact that I made it very clear that we were there recording by pointing to the mic while she was looking at me, but I don't think she got the hint slightly. So
clearly not.
No. But I'm glad that her conversation can be broadcast to the listeners and they can listen to what's going on. I think it was a bit of a conversation with the husband. But.
Yes. All very domestic, mundane stuff, fortunately. We'll try not to let that distract us from what Glenn was saying. And it's quite a short but focused conversation, so we'll play that in and see you on the other side.
Full Circle Interview.
Okay, here I am at Open Tech 2011 with Glenn Main from SciCamp.
Social Innovation Camp.
So tell me about Social Innovation Camp. What is it?
Yep. We bring together kind of technical people, so designers and developers, together into the same room with people who understand social problems. We spend quite a lot of time sourcing ideas over about an 8-week period, and then we bring them together for a kind of a hack weekend with the idea, but it's usually just 6 teams at the hack weekend, and it's with the idea of actually building, not just doing an interesting project for the weekend, but building a sustainable social venture. Something using the web, mobile phones, Internet of Things. We're very, very excited about the potential of kind of 3D printing and some of these things to kind of use the internet to address social issues.
Have you got any examples that we could see on the web now? Or
Yeah, definitely. So we've been running for about 3.5 years. We've run 4 social innovation camps thus far. So one of our groups is called My Police, and they are they were the winners of Social Innovation Camp in 2009. They're at mypolice.org, and they are currently piloting with Tayside Police up in Scotland.
Yeah.
And they are essentially a third-party feedback system for the police, so it's a space where the public and the police can have a constructive conversation about experiences, whether they're positive or negative. And they also manage to then also gather aggregate data that the police can, that the police service can use to improve their policing powers.
Mm. So is the data stream one way from the police, or is it from the users creating something using?
It's bidirectional. So it's a place where an open conversation happens between essentially the public and the police.
So what data are you getting from police? Is it open data that's freely available to anyone to use?
Because we're essentially the enabler, so we do kind of mentorship and things. I don't actually have tremendously detailed information about kind of all of, we have about 13 social ventures that have started up based on that have come through one or more of our programs. Another one of our successful programs is this guy called Will Brain, who started a thing called working title is Homeless SMS, and he had looked and seen how SMS was being used pretty heavily in the developed world, and there was a lot of in the developing world with projects like Ushahidi and Frontline SMS. What he was noticing was that hadn't really come yet to the developed world, and he had had a friend who had experienced homelessness. Mm-hmm. So he's in the middle of working out how he can try and deliver services and information to homeless people that sleep rough here in the UK.
Nice. So you've got quite a wide range then, haven't you, of products or applications that are built out of these camps. It isn't just the standard, oh, it's a Twitter feed that does X. It's something that actually helps someone in a social capacity.
Everything that comes through our camps has to address a social issue, and we do. Sometimes we pick themes that we think are interesting, but we wouldn't pick, say, open data as a theme. But we might pick something like, well, we did a whole social innovation camp last year in 2010 here in London on reducing youth offending. We're doing one in Scotland, and one of the themes for the one that's in Scotland this June is kind of social isolation. It's kind of chronic loneliness, which is very serious mental and actually physical disabilities. And we've got some tremendous physical effects, and we've got some really, really interesting ideas. I'm still processing them and getting them put up on the website there at sicamp.org.
Whereabouts are sci-camps held in the UK? I mean, I'm in the northwest of England, and I haven't seen one there yet. So
we've not done one there yet. We've been pretty. We've just been doing it for kind of the last 3 years, 3.5 years, and we've got down now. This year, we're trying to kind of regularize it and get a bit of kind of core funding in. And so the intention is to have run two rounds of sci-camp. Each year, so one will be in London, and then one will be somewhere else in the UK. So we've done one in Glasgow before. We're doing one in Edinburgh. We're hoping. I've had some very, very early discussions with some guys at Manchester City Council about coming to Manchester next year, and I think that's a really interesting space to go, particularly with the event that's just finished there. Which I think of as South by Southwest for Manchester. It's what is it? Future City,
future
everything. That's it.
Well, it would be good if we get something like this in Manchester.
Yeah,
I mean, there are now a lot more events in Manchester than there used to be.
It's a great town, and we're very interested. I think it's very high on our list for the next for one of the kind of upcoming camps. The only thing is that when we do it, it takes about 4 months to run one of these. So we spend an awful lot of time, and I've literally just spent 8 weeks. I've been up and back to Scotland and been to Scotland's 5 larger cities all a couple of times, just meeting people and talking to people and finding out who's there and trying to meet interesting people to come up with interesting ideas.
So how is it people can get in contact with you to actually get into this and do something with you?
Yeah, you can sign up on our mailing list, which is you just email subscribe at sicamp.org. You can look on the website, there's a blog, you can follow the blog, follow us on Twitter, we're at sicamp. And we will be launching, there's a page that's linked off the in the top left-hand corner of our website, there's a page that's all about the sort of next upcoming event. So which in this one is the Edinburgh event on the 17th to 19th of June, and we will be posting a sort of call for volunteers shortly. We normally get about for the six ideas. We normally get about 100 people at the weekend. One of the things that we're really interested that we've had really good luck with in the past is actually getting developers, not just getting, you know, if you put five Ruby and Rails developers in a room, that's great. But if you can put five Ruby and Rails developers in a room who know how to work together. Who've already worked together, so they know that they want to use Subversion or CVS or whatever it is. That just buys them 4 hours. And since they build kind of a proof of concept in less than 48 hours, it's actually very important that they learn how to work together very quickly.
Very true. Right then, well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having me.
And that was Glenn Main from the Social Innovation Camp. Really, really good, intelligent, focused guy.
He is. As you heard in the piece, he was actually in Scotland previously working on another event. He's working on a social innovation camp in Scotland, which has come and gone now. It was in June, I do believe. And they had lots of ideas submitted at that event. Now, the first one I found is an application called 10,000 Conversations. And this is an application which is there to tackle social isolation. Basically, what the app does, it identifies local people who you may be interested in a conversation with and then puts you up to meet them online. So it's great. I mean, it's a way of these people of reaching out to someone to talk to someone about a problem that they've got. And it's all been made possible by this 48-hour sprint.
I just hope it's better than chat roulette.
I'm proud to say I've never used chat roulette.
Feedback. You can post comments and feedback on the podcast page at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast. Send us a comment to podcast@fullcirclemagazine.org. You can also send us a comment by recording an audio clip of no more than 30 seconds and sending it to the same address. Comments and audio may be edited for length. Please remember, this is a family-friendly show.
So that's one interview down, two to go on our Open Tech Debrief on the Full Circle podcast. Our thanks to Les Pounder. We'll see you next time on Hacker Public Radio. I'm Robin Catling. Goodbye for now.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.